is by Dr. Melissa Bartek, who is here covering for Dr. James Ebert, who is covering for for Linda Smith. So we're doing a lot of substitutions, but that's okay. Melissa will be talking about Linda's work, which I believe is from her master's project on gaps and strength strengths in U.S. policy. We'll be doing a few questions at the end, Melissa did say that this is not work that she is that familiar with. So if there are questions, maybe there can be a discussion of common concerns or questions people have. So, Melissa.
Okay, well, wish me luck. Dr. Ebert got caught in Sandy and couldn't be here. So hopefully it will be good. He has nothing to disclose. I have nothing to disclose. How do I start reading someone else's slides? Okay. So this is about gaps and strengths in U.S. policy related to the WHO Global Strategy for Infant and Young Child Feeding. So she really wanted to look at policy, especially has to do with the U.S. because we are so influential. So her questions were, what is the significance of infant and young child feeding as public health issues, and what tools are out there to help us see how we're doing with regard to the global strategy, and how are we doing, basically. So this is kind of busy, but this is the framework from the global strategy of infant and young child feeding. Are people familiar with the global strategy? It came out in, when did it come out? I don't know either. I don't remember off the top of my head. But it's a WHO document, and it's saying, you know, people should breastfeed for the usual thing that everybody else says. The exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months and at least 2 years with complementary feeding, that's what's in the infant and young child feeding. And it has outcome targets, there are stakeholders, they use the Innocenti Declaration, the International Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, the ILO, International Labor Organization, Maternity Protection Conventions, and the Baby Friendly Hospital, of course. And it's really to apply everywhere to all babies and all feeding situations. And it's meant to be a worldwide document. So she reviewed the literature and is basically finding that breastfeeding is good. And I'll just take you through her interesting slides. This came from the Lancet Survival Series, and it's pretty interesting. Breastfeeding is by far the most powerful prevention intervention of all of these things in here, things we do routinely like antibiotics for premature rupture of membranes did not prevent any deaths. There's things that we pay a lot more attention to than breastfeeding that have much less impact. Excess health risks associated with not breastfeeding, this came from the Surgeon General's call to action. It's kind of a busy slide, but most of these are child outcomes, and then there's breast cancer and ovarian cancer and these outcomes as well. And I believe this came from the ARC report of 2007. So here are the recommendations. There is some controversy over whether there should be breastfeeding for 6 months exclusively or 4 months exclusively. I know most of the data supports 6 months on the basis of diarrheal illness. And the rationale for the 2 years at World Health Organization versus 1 year plus at AAP. So she's going to talk about why there are these controversies and that there's conflicts of interest. This I mentioned already. Wait a minute. So there is strong evidence for 6 months of exclusive and strong evidence for 2 years or more. And the U.S. voted against the code, the Code of Marketing of Breast Milk Substitutes, but adopted by consensus every subsequent World Health Assembly resolution. We did sign the Innocenti Declaration in 1990, and then last year this wonderful Surgeon General's Call to Action came out. Her methods for reviewing the gaps and strengths. She looked at the history and development elements of the global strategy and U.S. feeding policies, starting with the Symposium on Human Lactation back in 1976, and the World Breastfeeding Trends Initiative, which was in 1993 and 2003. That is an interesting tool that was developed in India by IBFAN Asia, and it tracks national progress on the Innocenti Declaration and on the WHO Global Strategy. And it uses global participatory action research. And there are 15 indicators in all. 10 are on policy and 5 are in practice. So the blue is good, the red is bad, and the yellow is in the middle. So these are the scores. So we do we do pretty good on national policy and baby friendly, very bad on infant feeding and HIV in emergencies, medium on maternity protection, mother support, information support. But you see the total score out of 100 is 44.7 on the 10 policy indicators. So not really so good overall. And then on the 5 practice indicators, pretty darn bad. I guess complementary feeding is good. Green is better than blue, I guess. So there were no green colors in the previous slide. That was as good as we got, as blue, 7.25. Yeah. So complementary feeding was good. Bottle feeding of breastfed infants, terrible. Median duration of breastfeeding, terrible. Exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, terrible. Early initiation, terrible. Total out of 50 points was 22. And 66 out of 150 total. So that's what a D or an F or something. F, I guess. The strengths were the national policy, and I'm guessing that a lot of that is coming from the Surgeon General's call to action, which is why we scored well on that. And baby-friendly, we scored moderately well, and then monitoring and evaluation, okay. And then complementary feeding, we scored very well. But the gaps are infant feeding and HIV and emergencies and early initiation, exclusive breastfeeding. I mentioned those. You know, I am not really sure. I was surprised to see that the baby-friendly indicator did so well, and I don't know exactly what they're asking. So I don't know if somebody wants to Google it or while I'm talking. It's a policies. I think so, yeah.
So it could be that we have policies supporting
but not actually doing it. So that would probably explain why that looks good on paper, but in practice looks bad. She had, so our policy supports the strategy's goals, and it partly supports the documents that were cited, and it addresses some of the things, but not very well, And the U.S. policy recommendations are targeted toward all of the strategies cited stakeholders. Our monitoring seems to be pretty good. I'm a little bit confused because she had a slide in the slides that she sent me that talked about conflicts of interest that I thought was actually the most interesting slide, and it doesn't seem to be included here. So I just want to summarize what it said, which was that this whole controversy between 4 months and 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding, she noted that the four-month recommendation. So the AAP section on breastfeeding recommends 6 months exclusivity, but AAP as an organization recommends 4 to 6 months. And so it turns out that and there's something about iron supplementation at 4 months. So she was noting that, and I'm trying to remember because I thought it would be here, that some of the iron recommendation came from a 2003 study, and one of the authors of the study is is on the board of Danone, who's part of Nestle and one of the world's biggest formula makers. And there was criticism of that study that it was not a well-done study, not scientifically defensible, and you couldn't draw any conclusions, and yet that was the recommendation that came from AAP. So, you know, these things are out there, and I thought that was very interesting and disturbing, and it also makes you really want to question authority when you hear something that maybe doesn't make sense or is inconsistent with what the rest of the world is recommending. You know, what's behind that? So her recommendations are implementing the code of marketing and expanding the call to action to address HIV and emergencies, which sounds like a great and achievable goal, securing adequate and sustainable funding for the call to action. And if we maintain the prevention fund as part of the Affordable Care Act, that should hopefully be able to be a source of funding for that, but we will see if it gets repealed or not in a few days. expand and institutionalize systems for cross-agency and cross-profession discipline and collaboration on topics that are impacted by breastfeeding. So really just make it part of the conversation of, you know, everything going on around public health. So what is our policy? What exactly constitutes our policy? Is it published? Is it government-sponsored research? Is it the call to action? Is it healthy people goals? Does it signing an international declaration count as policy? Does just doing a consensus vote on a World Health Assembly resolution count? And participation in a UN agreement, does that count? So I think that's a good question. The World Breastfeeding Tracking Indicator is designed to be collaborative, and hers was not, and there was lack of adequate data for some indicators. And it would be nice to be able to compare how we did with other industrialized countries, but I guess none of them are using it. And then, of course, our health system differs from other nations, that we don't have any kind of centralized national healthcare program. What the lessons learned are or failed to regulate formula marketing as it creates a big problem. Policies are critical and tools exist, and we certainly could do a better job using them, but things are getting better. And thank you.